Welcome to Zichud Avsi Mani Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Psachim, Daf Mem Aleph. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Amud Beis stated, Eim Avashni as a Pesach v'mashkin v'lo b'mei peros. One may not cook the Pesach, neither in wickets nor in fruit juices. A braisa discussing the source of the shulim taught that the Pesach states, you shall not eat of it, meaning the Pesach, cooked in water. Now, Eim B'mayim, Shar Mashkin B'nayim. Based on the Pesach, only a Pesach cooked in water is forbidden to eat. From where do I know that it may not be eaten if it was cooked in other liquids? So it's a kal vachomer. Since water, which is not mefikin taman, it doesn't impart its flavor to the meat, yet the meat is forbidden to eat, then other liquids, which do impart their flavor to their meat, lo kol shekein, should the meat not be forbidden all the more so? Now, Rebbe disagrees and says that the source is from the pasuk v'vushal m'vushal, or cooked. The extra word comes to teach that it's forbidden in any circumstance, meaning even if cooked in other liquids. Now, the practical difference between these two sources is slikadar. A Pesach made as pot roast, where it's only cooked in its own fat. According to the Tanakhama, it should be permitted, since it's not flavored by external liquids, and therefore the kal vachomer doesn't apply. According to Rebbe, it is forbidden because it was cooked in a liquid. Point number two, Rav Chisse said, HaMavashel b'chame teveri b'shabbos pater, one who cooks something in the hot springs of teveri on Shabbos is pater, Pesach shebashel b'chame teveri chayev. However, one who eats a Pesach that was cooked in the chame teveri is chayev. The Gemara asks what the difference is. If one's not liable for cooking in these springs on Shabbos, that told us Eish Be'inin Malekah, because we require a derivative of fire, and that's lacking, then with regard to the Pesach as well, the spring is not a derivative of fire, and therefore one should not be liable for eating a Pesach that was cooked in it. Rabbi answered that Rav Chista meant that one is chayev to ka'avar mishum tzli Eish, because he transgressed the mitzvah to eat the Pesach only if it was roasted by fire. Point number three, Rava said, if one ate the Pesach partially roasted, he gets two sets of lashes. Rashi explains that he's lashed one set for eating it partially raw, and one set for the transgression that one should not eat it except roasted by fire. Mavushal lokeshtayim. If he ate it cooked, he incurs two sets of lashes. Not mavushal lokeshalosh. If he ate one measure partially raw and one measure boiled, he incurs three sets of lashes. Abai said, ein lokin alav shebeklos. One does not incur lashes for a generalized prohibition. Rashi explains that the prohibition of not eating it except roasted over fire is a generalized prohibition since it covers all forms of Pesach meat not roasted, such as raw, partially raw, and cooked. So there are two interpretations of Abai's opinion. There are those that say he doesn't incur two sets of lashes. However, he does get one set of malchus if he only violated a generalized prohibition. And there are those that say that when he has only transgressed a generalized prohibition, he doesn't get any malchus. Dum yachid lave kolav dechasima, because its prohibition is not specific as it is in the case of the prohibition against muzzling, which is specific. This love is juxtaposed next to malchus in the Torah, from which we learn that one only receives malchus for specific prohibitions. So once again, the 3 points are. Number one, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Amud Beis stated, Eim Avashni as a Pesach v'mashkin v'lo b'mei peros. One may not cook the Pesach, neither in wickets nor in fruit juices. A braisa discussing the source of the shulim taught that the pasuk states, you shall not eat of it, meaning the Pesach, cooked in water. Now, Eim B'mayim, Shar Mashkin B'nayim. Based on the pasuk, only a Pesach cooked in water is forbidden to eat. From where do I know that it may not be eaten if it was cooked in other liquids? So it's a kal vachomer. Since water, which is not mefikin taman, it doesn't impart its flavor to the meat, yet the meat is forbidden to eat, then other liquids, which do impart their flavor to their meat, lo kol shekein, should the meat not be forbidden all the more so? A Rebbe disagrees and says that the source is from the pasuk v'vushal m'vushal, or cooked. The extra word comes to teach that it's forbidden in any circumstance, meaning even if cooked in other liquids. Now, the practical difference between these two sources is slikadar, a Pesach made as pot roast, where it's only cooked in its own fat. According to the Tanakhama, it should be permitted, since it's not flavored by external liquids, and therefore the kal vachomer doesn't apply. According to Rebbe, it is forbidden because it was cooked in a liquid. Point number two, Rav Chisse said, HaMavashel b'chame teveri b'shabbos pater, one who cooks something in the hot springs of teveri on Shabbos is pater, Pesach shebashel b'chame teveri chayev. However, one who eats a Pesach that was cooked in the chame teveri is chayev. The Gemara asks what the difference is. If one's not liable for cooking in these springs on Shabbos, that told us Eish Be'inin Malekah, because we require a derivative of fire, and that's lacking, then with regard to the Pesach as well, the spring is not a derivative of fire, and therefore one should not be liable for eating a Pesach that was cooked in it. Rabbi answered that Rav Chista meant that one is chayev to ka'avar mishum tzli eish, because he transgressed the mitzvah to eat the Pesach only if it was roasted by fire. Point number three, Rabbi said, achlan na lokeshtayim. If one ate the Pesach partially roasted, he gets two sets of lashes. Rashi explains that he's lashed one set for eating it partially raw, and one said for the transgression that one should not eat it except roasted by fire. Mavushal, lokashtayim. If he ate it cooked, he incurs two sets of lashes. Not mavushal, lokashalosh. If he ate one measure partially raw and one measure boiled, he incurs three sets of lashes. Abai said, ein lokin alav shebeklos. One does not incur lashes for a generalized prohibition. Rashi explains that the prohibition of not eating it except roasted over fire is a generalized prohibition since it covers all forms of Pesach meat not roasted, such as raw, partially raw, and cooked. So there are two interpretations of Abai's opinion. There are those that say he doesn't incur two sets of lashes. However, he does get one set of malchus if he only violated a generalized prohibition. And there are those that say that when he has only transgressed a generalized prohibition, he doesn't get any malchus, because its prohibition is not specific as it is in the case of the prohibition against muzzling, which is specific. This love is juxtaposed next to malchus in the Torah, from which we learn that one only receives malchus for specific prohibitions. All right, so now we got our sim for daf mem aleph, and our sim is related to ma, but we use a grandma to make a little more distinct. So here goes. The grandma decided to prepare a pot roast carbon Pesach. When her grandkids told her they would not eat the one cooking in the Chami Tiberia, lest they incur multiple sets of lashes. Once again, in slow motion. The grandma, that must be run daf mem aleph. The grandma decided to prepare a pot roast carbon Pesach, which reminds us that the pasuk only refers to the prohibition of cooking a Pesach in water. And a braisa brought a malchus how we know that one cannot cook it in other liquids as well. The Tanakhama learns that if it's forbidden to cook in water, which doesn't impart taste, all the more so would be forbidden to cook in liquids that do impart taste. Rebbe learns it from the double lashon of bashel mevushal. The extra word teaches the prohibition applies to any liquid. The nafka mina between them is a pot roast, where the carbon is cooking in its own fat. The Tanakhama would permit it since it isn't flavored by external liquids, whereas Rebbe would prohibit it because it's cooking in a liquid. So the grandma decided to prepare a pot roast carbon Pesach. When her grandkids told her they would not eat the one cooking in the Chami Tiberia, which reminds us that Rav Chisda said the reason one who cooks the carbon Pesach in the Chami Tiberia is chayiv is not for transgressing the prohibition of cooking the carbon, since the spring is on a toldah fire, and therefore is not considered cooking. Rather, it's for transgressing the mitzvah to eat the Pesach only if it was roasted by fire. So the grandma decided to prepare a pot roast carbon Pesach. When her grandkids told her they would not eat the one cooking the Chami Tiberia, lest they incur multiple sets of lashes. Which reminds us that some malchus is in a case where one ate the carbon partially raw and cooked. Rava says he gets three sets of lashes, one which includes the generalized prohibition of not eating the Pesach except roasted. Abai says one does not incur lashes for a lav shebeklos, a generalized prohibition. There's a malchus whether Abai means he never gets lashed or that he would get lashed if that was his only transgression. So once again, the grandma decided to prepare a pot roast carbon Pesach. When her grandkids told her they would not eat the one cooking in the Chami Tiberia, lest they incur multiple sets of lashes. All right, now it's time for a four blah back chazorah. Daf Lamed Zayin. So the similar Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. The laser tag team, laser tag, that must be more on Daf Lamed Zayin. The laser tag team had to beat the clock and find hidden tefach thick loaves in less time than it takes for Kohanim to bake the lechem upon him. Which reminds us that there's a Malchus Beisham Beisol regarding baking Pasava, which initially we believe is regarding baking a thick loaf off to a tefach thick, which is learned from the Lechem Apanim. When Rav Yosef refused his understanding, since the Lechem Apanim could be baked up to a tefach thick, because there were a number of factors that help ensure it didn't become chametz, the Malchus is understood to be about Pas Meruba, baking a lot of loaves in the oven at the same time beyond one's Yom Tov needs. Beis Shammai forbids it because of Tirkei Yisera, whereas Beis Hillel permits it because baking a lot of loaves together improves the taste of the bread. So the laser tag team had to beat the clock and find hidden tefach thick loaves in less time than it takes for Kohanim to bake the lechem upon him, and then laser decorative designs on them, which reminds us about the concern of baking matzahs with tzrikim tzuyarim decorative designs. The concern is that women will tarry while decorating them and the dough will become chametz. One opinion is that the concern is only with professional bakers who are meticulous and take their time because they intend to sell these matzahs. Others say the concern is only with ordinary people, but professional bakers are adept, plus they have stamps that enable them to decorate quickly. So the laser tag team had to beat the clock and find hidden tefach thick loaves in less time it takes for Kohanim to bake the lechem upon him, and then laser decorative designs on them while they were frying in pans and exempt from challah. Which reminds us of the Malchus whether loaves fried in a pan are patur from the need to separate challah. Reish Lakish says they are, since fried loaves are not considered lechem. Rabbi Yochanan holds they are chai because they are considered bread, and only loaves baked in the sun are exempt from hafrashas challah. They would also disagree in a case where bread was fried in a pan where the flame was opposite the top of the pan, since this is considered a normal way of frying for poor people who want to conserve fuel. Daf Lamed Ches, so the similar Lamed Ches is a Devar Lach, and we use chicken soup. So here goes. The exotic chicken soup. Chicken soup, that must be one daf. Lamed ches, a davar lach. The exotic chicken soup served with Maaser Sheni challah, esrogim, and matzah balls, which reminds us that Rav Asi said that the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim regarding Maaser Sheni, whether it's mamon gavoa and patrim challah, or mamon hediot, personal property, and chayvan challah, also applies with using Maaser Sheni for an esrog, where the pasuk says, ulkachtem lechem, and you should take yours, and with using Maaser Sheni for matzah, where there's a gezer shava of lechem, lechem, connecting the lechem from challah to the lechem of lechem oni. So the exotic chicken soup served with Maaser Sheni challah, esrogim, and matzah balls was sold next to the stall that marketed totolos and nazir wafers, which reminds us two different sources were brought for why challah satoda rikike nazir, that one made for himself, cannot be used to fulfill one's chiyuv for achilas matzah. Rava said that the pasuk states, Ushmartim etza matzos, and you shall safeguard the matzos, matzah mishtamer shel shem matzah. This teaches that only matzah that's guarded from becoming leaven for the sake of matzah may be used in Mekai in the mitzvah, excluding those which are guarded, not for the sake of the mitzvah matzah, but ushum zevach, for the sake of the offering. Rav Yosef brought the pasuk, Shivas yamim mitzvahs tochelu, 7 days you shall eat matzahs, matzah and necheles is shivas yamim. This teaches that only matzah can be eaten for 7 days may be used for the chiyuv of matzah, excluding these which are not eaten for 7 days, but for 1 day and one night. So the exotic chicken soup served with Maaser Sheni challah, esrogim, and matzah balls was sold next to the stall that marketed total loaves and nazir wafers, where the owner was wrapping them up to take home as matzah, since business was slow. Which reminds us that Rabbi explained the reason that challah is a total rikike nazir, that one intended to sell, can be used to fulfill one's chiyuv for achilas matzah, is that one anticipates changing his mind vis-a-vis all the matzahs he makes for sale. The person says to himself, if they're sold for a person's tod or nazar offering, they're sold. But if they're not sold, I'll fulfill my chiyuv for matzah with them. Daf Lamentes, the Simra Lamentes, is a letter. So here goes. The Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters. Letters? That must be more on Daf Lamentes. The Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters with letters in them, certifying that they are mohud or maror, which reminds us that the lechatchila form of maror is chazeres, which is chasa, lettuce, and it's called chasa because the Kodesh Baruch Hu was chas on us, he had mercy on us, and that the Mitzrim are compared to maror because they started off soft and paid us for our labor, and then ended up hard and forced us to work for no pay. So the Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters with lettuce in them, certifying that they are mohud or maror, grown from the ground, not from a tree, and totally edible. Which reminds us that maror must be similar to matzah in so much that it comes from a substance that is grown from the ground, it's herbage, and it's edible, and also can come from many different species, just like matzah can. So the Yeshiva pre-Pesach fundraising drive featured sending out letters with lettuce in them, certifying they are mohud or maror, grown from the ground, not from a tree, and totally edible, along with a piece of matzah they touted as totally chametz proof. Which reminds us that unleavened foods which are baked or cooked after being baked, as well as flour that is scalded, cannot become chametz if water comes in contact with them. Daf Mem. So the Simmer Daf Mem is mime, and we use a swimming pool. So here goes. The beware of chimutz event by the pool. Pool, that must mean we're in Daf Mem. The beware of chimutz event by the pool featured fascinating demonstrations of scalding 2 wheat kernels with boiling water, which reminds us that the Gemara brings several activities to avoid since they might result in the chimutz of grain. One should not thicken a pot of food even with flour of oven-dried grain. One shouldn't scald in boiling water 2 kernels of wheat together, for one kernel will perhaps shift and settle in the cleft of the other, and the bubbling, boiling water will not get to them on all 4 sides, and it will come to chimutz. So the Beware of Chimutz event by the pool featured fascinating demonstrations of scalding 2 wheat kernels with boiling water, and soaking barley grains briefly in the water, which reminds us that a Brisa said, Ein lo sisin se'orim bepesach, we may not soak barley grains in water on Pesach, even though this should be permitted because the grain was only soaked briefly and didn't absorb water before being dried into the sun. The Rabbanim prohibited it out of concern that people will not be careful enough and the grain will become chametz. The Brisa continues that if one did soak the barley on Pesach, if the grains split, they are forbidden because they leaven quickly, but if they didn't split, they are permitted since they do not leaven quickly. So the Beware of Chimutz event by the pool featured fascinating demonstrations of scalding 2 wheat kernels with boiling water and soaking barley grains briefly in the water, and ended with adding flour to the charoses dip in mustard served at the barbecue. Which reminds us that one may not add flour to charoses, which was a dip containing vinegar made for use with meat, or to mustard, and if he did add flour, it must be eaten immediately according to the Tanna Kamma. Rav Meir forbids one to eat it. Rav Kahana said that the machlokes only applies in the case of flour put in mustard, but in the case of the flour put in the charoses, all agreed that it must be burned immediately. Rashi explains that the pungency of mustard delays the leavening process. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions, plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn 2 different sources for how we know that one cannot cook the carbon Pesach in other liquids besides water? That's on Daf Memal. Good. Number 2. Which of the learned that maror must be like matzah and that it comes from the ground, it's herbage, and is edible. That's on daf. Lamatas. Good. Number three. Which daf does the Gemara bring several activities to avoid since they might result in chimutz, such as scalding and boiling water, two kernels of wheat, together? That's on daf. Mem. Good. Number four. Which daf do you learn why the mitzrim are compared to maror? That's on daf. Lamatas. Good. Number five. Which daf do we have two different sources for why chalas the Torah rikikei nazir that one makes for himself cannot be used for the mitzvah of achilas matzah? That's on daf. Good. Number six. Which daf do we learn that the Rabbanim forbid soaking barley grains in water? That's on daf. Mem. Good. Number seven. Which daf do we learn that people that sell chalas haTorah rikikei nazir have in mind that if they can't sell them, they'll use them for the mitzvah of matzah? That's on daf. Good. Number eight. Which daf do we have a concern with baking matzah with tzrikim mitzuyar and decorative designs because one might tarry while decorating and they'll become chametz? That's on daf. Lamed Zayin. Good. Number nine. Which daf do we have a machlokas Rav and Abai whether one is chay malchus for alav shebaklalos? That's on daf. Memov. Good. And number ten. Which daf do we have that one should not put flour in charosis or chardal? That's on daf. Mem. Good. Now we go to the three bonus questions. Number one. Which daf do we learn that if one does not relieve himself when he should, it either incur bad breath or, according to another opinion, body odor? That's on daf. Hey, Basin Shabbos. Good. Number two. Which daf we have a mokok is whether the nusach for the bracha is hamotzi or motzi. That's on daf. Lamed ches and bracha is good. And number three. Which daf we learn about alechia omed me'ilav. That's on daf. Tezvav and Erev. And excellent. All right. This concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.